you want to plant a garden, you have to take some time to prepare the soil. You can't just throw the seed out there and or the seeds and expect for something to come up. Sometime accidentally that might happen. I know when I was growing up, we used to eat watermelons. Sometimes you cut them, sometimes you just bust them open on a rock, you know, or either on the banister or on the porch, and then go to work. And sometimes if it hit some soft soil, then you'd see a little sprig came up that would come up. Well, but most of the time you're going to have to prepare the soil in order for the seed to do what it needs to do. And there's a certain direction I want to start going on Wednesday nights, but before I can do that, I've got to prepare the soil. So tonight is the soil preparing time. I want to get your hearts prepared so that you can receive what God would have for you. Because everything really is about attitude in the heart. With that in mind, turn to Isaiah chapter 49. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 9. Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 9. And then we're going to Isaiah 43 and verse 19. Isaiah chapter 42. One of those major prophets in the Bible, major as far as the amount of scripture that is recorded in that particular book. That's the difference between the major prophets and the minor prophets, as I've tried to teach you, you know, in times past. So when you hear that, you'll know what it's talking about. That doesn't mean that Isaiah is, you know, any greater than Joel or Micah, but it's talking about the amount of scripture. All right. Isaiah chapter 42, watch, look with me please at verse number 9. It says, "Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them." Now here, God is speaking prophetically to the nation of Israel, and he's telling the inhabitants of the nation of Israel that he's literally going to do some new things. He's going to declare some new things. He said, now the former things have already come to pass. We can't necessarily just spend a lot of time dwelling on those, but also they ought to know that the things that he said in the past, they have come to pass. He said, but we can't dwell in the past. Now we have to move forward. And he said, I'm going to do some new things for you. With that in mind, look at Isaiah chapter 43 and verse number 19. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse number 19. Again, God says, "Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Here again, God is saying that he is going to do a new thing to and for the nation. The Bible tells us in the New Testament that the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. As I've told you a number of times, everything in the Bible may not have necessarily been written to us, but it was written for us. Because God is a God of character, principle. Isaiah, which is a tremendous book, 66 chapters, tremendous book. There's no way that I would ever, I don't think, endeavor to preach through Isaiah, 66 chapters. If we took a chapter a week, it would take us a long time, like a year or some change, because it's 66 chapters in the book of Isaiah. But Isaiah is a tremendous book. A lot of the higher critics, those who think they know a lot and professing themselves wise, have become fools. Now, I didn't call anybody a fool. I'm just quoting your scripture. But as I've told you, if the Bible says somebody's a fool, he's a crackpot. You can mark that down. And so a lot of the higher critics do not like the book of Isaiah. I love the book of Isaiah. Tremendous book. The book of Isaiah, and I don't want to get too much off course, but the book of Isaiah, it's a good book. We ought to have various passages of scripture memorized, or at least know where certain things are in the book of Isaiah. I mean, if you ever need some strength, how about go over to that 40th chapter, amen, and see if you can get a little strength over there. You understand what I'm saying? If you want to know something about the Lord, how about go to that 53rd chapter and deal with verse 1 down through verse number 6. You understand what I'm saying? Isaiah's tremendous. If you want to get excited about heaven, read the 65th and the 66th chapter if you want to get excited about heaven. Tremendous book, the book of Isaiah. If you want to just reason with the Lord, then spend some time over there in the first chapter, kind of pivot right around verse number 18 and see what he can do for you. Though your sins be as scarlet, praise God, they can be as white as snow. They be red like crimson, praise God, they can be like wool. Tremendous book. I love the book of Isaiah. And here, God is using the book of Isaiah because now the break has taken place. And the reason why I say that is because in the book of Isaiah, there's a break that takes place between the 39th chapter and the 40th chapter. The first 39 chapters sound like judgment, condemnation because of their rebellion and their getting away from him. Now, in the 40th chapter, throughout the 66 chapters, there's a message of restoration of what God is going to do for them, their future and how bright it is. And by the way, anytime we hear a word that comes from God and it brings conviction to our souls and God shows us something that we need to do, one of the greatest things that you and I can ever do is never get mad at the word, but get broken under the word. Because, see, once we get broken under the word, we say, Lord, you've spoken to my heart, and we get right with God. Now God says, I can do this in your life, that in your life. I can bless you over here. I can rain down and shower down blessings upon you and upon your family. I can open up doors for you. I can go before you and make the crooked places straight. And I think all of us want God to bless our lives, to use us and allow his word to come alive in our lives. I want to speak tonight on this subject. Let God do a new thing. Let God do a new thing. Let's get some help. Father, thank you tonight for just the privilege of being able to come to your house. Father, we give you praise for that. Now, Father, we have already looked a little bit at your word, but Father, please use your word to break up the fallow ground so that the engrafted word can find what it needs in our lives and be able to spring forth into a tree of righteousness and a tree of purpose. And a tree that has roots that are deep in the soil of your own word. Father, please have your way in the service tonight. Save any who's lost in this building tonight and help all of us who are believers. Please, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. As I've already told you, God was saying that he's going to do a new thing. I told you how he was speaking prophetically to the nation of Israel, and he made a statement. He said, I'm going to do something for you that's going to be instantaneous. He said that literally is going to spring forth in chapter 43 and verse number 19. That means it's going to come quickly, quickly. He said, there may be some things right now that seems to have your way blocked, but don't worry about it. I'm going to make a way in the wilderness in verse number 19. God knows how to unblock some things. And then he's saying that which is dry and that which is barren, he says, I'm going to make a place of refreshing. He said, and rivers, verse number 19, in the desert. Sometimes in your own heart and soul, sometimes you can be sitting in the house of God, but maybe you feel like like a desert. I started to call the name of a desert, but maybe sometimes you feel like a desert on the inside. But God can say, hey, I can take what you're feeling on the inside, and I can literally give you some rivers right in the midst of your desert. That's the kind of God that we have. And God can take one service and turn your life around. And God was saying, I'm going to do some new things, Israel. And we ought to let God do some new things for us. Sometimes we just need to let God loose in our lives. Let God do a new thing. I'm going to give you three things tonight that you ought to let God give you that are new things. Number one, let God give you a new song. Notice Isaiah chapter 42, verse 9 down through verse number 12. Let God give you a new song. Notice Isaiah 42, verse 9 down through verse number 12. It says, behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. See, anybody can say something after it's come to pass, but God said, I'm going to tell it to you before it ever comes to pass. Because if I say it, it's just like as if it's already happened. Notice the next verse. Sing unto the Lord a new song. And his praise from the end of the earth, ye that go down to the sea, and all that are therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof, let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice, the villages that Kedar doth inhabit. Let the inhabitants of the rock sing. Let them shout from the top of the mountains. Notice verse 12. Let them give glory unto the Lord and declare his praise in the islands. God is saying here in this text, he said, I'm gonna do a new thing in your life. And I want you to give a new song of praise. By the way, God has done so much for us, we ought not to but help but praise him. Look with me in Psalm. Now we're coming back, but look with me in Psalm 40, verse 1 down through verse number 3. We can't help but praise him. Notice Psalm 40. And notice verse 1 down through verse number 3. Psalm 40, verse 1 down through verse number 3. The psalmist said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Watch this. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a, say it again, in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Listen, when he brought you up out of an horrible pit, when he brought you up out of the miry clay, when he set your feet upon the rock, when he put your life back together, he put a new song in your heart. He gave you some joy. I don't know about you, but I can remember when he saved my soul. Woo. He put a song in my heart. Life just seemed to be different. Because see, he did a new thing in my life. I remember the 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a, what's the word? New creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. He put a new song in my heart because I was a new creature in Christ. And see, we ought to never underestimate power of praise. See, the enemy will come after your song. And maybe in 2014, maybe he came after your song. If he didn't snatch it away, maybe he just turned the volume down a little bit. But in 2015, I think it's time that we have some people who will get the song back, get the joy back in 2015. Ask God to give you some joy. And by the way, when he gives you some joy, people around you will be affected. Notice Psalm 40, verse 3 again. And he has put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Do you know that when you are going through things and people see that you still have a song in your heart, joy in your heart, do you know it helps other people out to put their trust in the Lord? Because they say, if she's going through that, and if he's going through that, and they still have joy, then what am I concerned about? God, give me what he's got, what she's got, what you possess. Give me some joy. Some joy. See, let God do a new thing. I'm going to let you in on a secret tonight. The enemy does not want you praising God. That's why he keeps bringing stuff in your life. That's why he keeps messing with your car, messing with your finances, messing with other things, because he does not want you to have joy. He does not want you to have a song in your heart, and he does not want you rejoicing, because he knows that the joy of the Lord is your strength, and he wants to keep you as weak as he can, because the weaker you are, the easier it is for him to do what he wants to do. But when you get a little joy in your heart, a little joy in your soul, a song on your lips, it strengthens you on the inside. Listen, there are amens going all across this building, but I guarantee you that the people who are saying amen, they could stand up and tell you bad stuff that's going on right now in their life. But you know what they've determined to do? Just give God the praise anyhow. You understand what I'm saying? So you got to get the song back in your heart here in 2015. Ask God to fill you with some joy. Listen, a person with a song in their heart is like a person that has the flu and a fever to go with it. It's catching. It's catching, and it'll spread. Have you ever heard somebody singing? Maybe even right here, you maybe heard somebody singing a song, and then you caught yourself maybe on Sunday afternoon or on Monday singing the song that they had sung in church. I can't remember how many times I found myself doing that, just singing the song. You know what's amazing? When you're singing the song, you're not focused on your problems. See, what I'm saying is, in order for us to be able to receive what we need to receive, we have to determine in our hearts that we're going to get a song in our heart. Just let God loose and he can give you what you need. Don't underestimate the power of praise. By the way, you can't manufacture a long-term song of joy. But God can put one in your heart. And once he puts it there, brother, you'll sing. I didn't say you got to get up and sing a special. But you'll sing. You'll find out you'll have some joy. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, Psalm 126, and our tongue with singing. Then said they amongst the heathen, the Lord. Remember, somebody see it now. the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us. Where? We are glad. Now, once God starts doing something, then you want him to continue to do it. They said, turn again our captivity, O Lord, like the streams in the south. And, of course, you know verse 5, verse number 6. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing the sheaves with him. Get this. I want to focus on that first part. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, like them that dream, then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. See, here's the thing. Man, we get the joy. As the song the kids used to sing, Brother Terry, I've got the joy, 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 amen, down in my heart. I don't know if y'all still sing that song down there. Now, amen, Sister Karen, all right, shake it ahead. You understand what I'm saying? Hey, that's more than just a song for children. It ought to be a song for any child of God. See, we need to say, I'm tired of being miserable. We need to say, I'm tired of being sad. I'm tired of being frustrated. I'm tired of being discouraged. In 2015, we should say, God, I'm tired of being miserable. I want you to give me a new song. Give me some new joy. Let God do a new thing. Number one, let God give you a new song. Secondly, let God give you a new love. Let God give you a new love. Notice St. John chapter 13. Notice St. John chapter 13. Go with me to the New Testament. These three things I'm going to give you tonight will unlock you. Unlock your heart and allow God to do something that he desires to do and allow you to be able to receive things a whole lot better. Notice St. John chapter 13. Notice St. John chapter 13. And notice verse 34 and verse 35. Let God give you not only a new song, but let God give you a new love. You need to take it to another level. St. John 13, notice verse 34 and verse 35. Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you. What's that new commandment? That ye love one another. Now you say, now wait a minute. Hasn't he already given them and told them about loving each other? Well, let's read the whole thing. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. Watch this. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Listen, Jesus was giving them a new commandment. They were to love one another. But Jesus was telling them that they were to love one another the way he had loved them. In verse 34, he said, as I have loved you. In other words, Jesus set the example. Now, we won't understand the kind of love that Jesus had unless we understand the kind of people he's talking to. He loved them all. Now, who was he talking to? He was talking to James and John. These two wanted to call down fire from heaven. Wanted to destroy people. But Jesus loved them. James and John's mother came to Jesus one time and said, listen, I want my son to sit one on your right hand, one on your left hand in your kingdom. Other 10 disciples, they got filled with indignation, the Bible says. They got seriously upset. But Jesus loved them. There's a guy named Thomas. Doubting everything. Call him Doubting Thomas. One time Jesus said, listen, we're going to where Lazarus is. He's dead, but I'm going to go and wake him out of his sleep. Thomas, called Didymus. The Bible says Didymus means twin. Doesn't mean doubting. But he doubted. He said to fellow disciples, well, let us go, so that we may die with him. He didn't say that they were going to die. They were going to die, but that's what he said. Doubting Thomas. Same one who said, I'm not going to believe it unless I got to see his hands. Got to see his side. But he loved him anyway. There was one there that constantly put his foot in his mouth, named Peter. Constantly put his foot in his mouth. One time, Peter made the statement. Peter said, you know something? Everybody's going to forsake you. Don't worry about it. I'm not going to forsake you. Said it late on that night. By the way, Jesus knew. Nothing caught him by surprise. He knew Peter was going to deny him. But he still loved him. There was one in that room, still, at this point. His name was Judas. Judas was going to betray him. 30 pieces of silver. By the way, he knew it. He said, one of you going to betray me. He knew it. But yet, he loved him. See, it's easy to love somebody who loves us. But see, if we allow God to give us a new love, then it's going to be an agape type love. Anybody can operate in phileo. Lost people can operate in phileo, brotherly love. The city of Philadelphia is called brotherly love. Anybody can operate like that, even lost people. But agape, that's a special kind of love. It's a God type love. And the word that Jesus used for love here is the word agapao, from the word agape. So it's God type love. Same word is used over in John 3:16, which says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It's a God type love. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That kind of love. God loved us and we didn't want anything to do with him. And we would lie to God and turn our backs on God and would do things that God did not approve of. God still loved us. He didn't have to send Christ. But he loved us. Christ didn't have to die. But he loved us. Christ wasn't lonely in heaven and needed somebody to talk to. He loved us. That's why he did it. And then he told the disciples, now I'm giving you a new commandment. He said, I want you to love just like I have loved you. Now, we need to look at some things that Jesus said. Look in Luke chapter 6. Look at Luke chapter 6. And notice verse 27 and verse 28. Luke chapter 6, verse 27 and verse 28. Jesus said, but I say unto you, which hear, love your enemy. Do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you. And pray for them which despitefully use you. That's a tall order. That's a tall order. See, we need a new love. Notice verse 32 down through verse 36. For if ye love them which love you, what thank, what does that mean? Literally, what credit have ye? Boil it down to simple terms, and I'm going to use bad grammar, but you'll get it. You ain't done nothing yet. Watch this. For sinners also love those that love them. I told you, there's a certain way that sinners can love each other. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. Watch how he loves. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. See, let God give you a new love in your heart. This is 2015. We need to have a new love. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Because when I was talking about the new joy, amens were ringing over the building. But now that I am talking about a new love for your enemies and those who don't treat you right, it's done died down a little bit. Amen. It's done died down a little bit. I want to ask you a question tonight. I'm putting your love in the weight scale. If your enemy called you tonight and said, could you help me? Would you help him or would you help her? A new love. A new love. I thought I heard crickets a minute ago. A new love. You understand what I'm saying? A new love. Sometimes in life, and it's going to happen. Sometimes in life, you're going to have somebody who has done you wrong. And they're going to need your help. A new kind of love will say, no. I'm just seeing if you, I just want to see if you listen to me. A new kind of love will say, and now listen to me, whether you feel like it or not, a new love will say yes. You say, now wait a minute. How can I show love if I don't feel it or tingle? Can I show love and do something that I don't want to do? Sure you can. Love is a word that is demonstrated. It's demonstrative. Give me a prime example. The Lord. The Lord did not want to go to the cross. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will. Thine be done. See, love is what nailed him to the cross. But sometimes you're going to have to demonstrate love even when your flesh wants to say no. Spirit man, when you have that new love, will say yes. That's why Sunday I said you got to feed the spirit man. When I got home, my wife said something and I said, boy, I wish I had thought that up when I was at behind the pulpit. She said, whichever one you feed, that's the one that'll lead. Amen. I said, that was good. I wasn't going to claim it for myself, but I like it. I'm telling you, a new love, a new love, a new love. That's what we've got to have. And that means a love for the brethren, love for your mate. Man, love your mate. Enjoy your mate. Love for your children. Love them. Love them. Love them when they're good and love them when they're bad. Love for your enemies. I'm talking about love them. Love them. Thank you, Brother Terry. Yeah, I think my wife, I think I might have heard two amen. I let me back up. Love for brethren. Love your mate. Love your mate. Love for children. Love them when they do good. Love them when they do bad. Love your enemy. Amen. That's still a little bit better. You're not there yet, amen, but a little bit better. Love for that person that's hard to love. Some people are hard to love. They really are. They're just hard to love. But you've got to love them anyway. You do. You have to love them anyway. Can I tell you something? I had a dream. I hadn't even told this to my wife yet. But she's getting this. I had a dream. And nobody tell her my dreams. And she tell me her. But I didn't want to tell her this dream because I didn't want her to, you know, worry. I dreamt that one of my former church members walked up to me and hit me in the chest. I dreamt that. Walked up to me and hit me in the chest. And I grabbed the person by the hand, twisted their wrist back like that, and had them down. I literally did. I mean, they came and they hit me in the chest. I got the arm, moved it, switched it, and had them down just like that. And I said, if you don't apologize, I'm going to snatch it out the socket. That's what I said in my dream. I said that in my dream. I said, I'm going to snatch it out the socket. And then after a while, I woke up. I never snatched it out the socket. And I laid there in the bed. And I'm not kidding you. I said, now, Lord, I said, do I have something in my heart against this person? Because I said, I don't want to have anything in my heart against this person, but they have a dream like that. I said, do I have something? I'm talking to the Lord. I said, Lord. I said, I didn't even share with her. I said, Lord. And I wasn't examining. I said, Lord, I don't have anything in my heart against this person. But that's what happened. And I don't even know why it happened, but it just did. But I searched my heart, and I said, Lord, I don't want to have anything in my heart against this person. Amen. I had to get right. Amen. I'm telling you, no matter what somebody has done to us, man, we've got to love them anyway. I didn't say you got to go out and have breakfast and eat breakfast and drink a cup of coffee. But you still have to love them. You can't carry hate in your heart and let that stuff go. Let God do a new thing. Let God give you a new song. Let God give you a new love. And then thirdly, let God give you a new heart. Let God give you a new heart. Notice Ezekiel chapter 36. Notice Ezekiel chapter 36. Let God give you a new heart. Say, can God give you a new heart? Sure he can. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel chapter 36. And even when I'm teaching and even when I'm preaching on Wednesday nights, I use a little bit of humor, because I know you've had long days, and sometimes I just have to keep you awake. Ezekiel 36, notice verse 26 and verse 27, because I use it on Sunday too, amen. My pastor told me, he said, never lose a sense of humor, never. I don't want to be silly, you understand what I'm saying? But never lose your sense of humor. Ezekiel chapter 36, notice verse 26 and verse 27. Watch this. Are you there? All right, help me out. A new, say it again. Also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony out of your flesh and give you a of flesh. Notice verse 27. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you. Remember I told you, preparing you for the word. And cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. See, if we have a new song, new joy, it's going to help us to Rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth, as the Bible says. If we have a new love, it will cause us to love people and to love his word that tells us how to love people. And then if our hearts are a little stony, thank God, God can give us a soft, fleshy heart. And again, God was speaking prophetically to the nation of Israel. But yet the truth is here and throughout the word that God can give a person a new heart. That's a new desire, a new will, a new life, a new zest, a new zeal. And there are times, sometimes, when our hearts maybe can get a little stony or maybe a little cold. But God can give us a new heart, new vision, new desires, new passion. God can change your heart. I won't have you to turn there, but King Saul, when he first became king, God gave him a new heart. It had already been prophesied in the scriptures that he would be turned into another man in that 10th chapter of 1 Samuel. And in 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse number 9, it states, "And it was so that when Saul turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart, and all those signs came to pass that day." God changed Saul's heart. And by the way, God can change our hearts. God can give us a heart that would have a desire to follow his word and to do what's right and to walk in his commandments. We can pray and ask God, "God, break up the fallow ground. Take away the stony heart. Give me a heart of flesh, a heart that's sensitive to you, a heart that's willing to respond to you. Oh, God, change me." You said, can that happen for a believer? Yes, it can. Think about it. It happened when we were unbelievers, and he changed our hearts. If he can change our hearts, praise God, he can soften our hearts so that we won't be cold and callous to the truth, but ready to walk in his word and do whatever he's called us to do and has told us to do. Let God do a new thing. Let him give you a new song, a new love, and a new heart. Let's bow for prayer.